Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Please speak with us tonight as we begin to study. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Tonight I will begin to speak on the matter of the kingdom of God. Say, thy kingdom come. That's our theme, isn't it? But I have decided to approach the theme in some three or four segments in order for us to have a progressive study and a progressive understanding. The first thing we want to do tonight is not yet to say, thy kingdom come, is to understand the kingdom. So we will be understanding the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at the meaning, the nature, and the entry into the kingdom of God. What does the kingdom of God mean? What does it entail? And so when we say, thy kingdom come, what are we expecting on the face of the earth? What are we longing to see? And what are you going to lay your life down for God to accomplish as men and women that are desiring that in our lifetime we want to see the kingdom of God established first in our lives, in our marriages? We want the kingdom of God to be established everywhere we are located and in our own earth. But before we come to that, which I'm hoping we will get to in the course of the meeting, maybe by tomorrow, we want to understand for tonight the nature and the implication of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Do you think we should proceed like that? Yes, let's proceed like that. Let's try and see how the Lord will help us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke so much about the kingdom of God. If you remember that the first message that Jesus Christ preached, He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you remember? Okay? And do you remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ confronted Nicodemus, actually He began to speak to Nicodemus about the kingdom of God. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then the next thing He said, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So which means that there is something about the kingdom of God that it's possible for someone to see it. And it is possible for someone to do what? To enter into it. Even though it has a gateway into which you must come through it. So, over the scriptures, you will find several issues that were raised about the kingdom. And I also saw that in order to bring the meaning and the nature and the understanding of the kingdom of God to bear upon those who listen to Jesus all through the time of his ministry, he used a lot and lot of parables to explain the nature of the kingdom of God. So, in our study tonight, in order to find definition, to be able to explore what the kingdom of God is all about, we will need to look at some of the parables. Some of it are very diverse in its application, but we are going to contain or constrain ourselves to few of it as we go on, trusting God to help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's first look at what the kingdom of God is not. What is the kingdom of God not about? And when you read the book of Romans, chapter 14, there is a very sharp definition about the kingdom of God there that we can read to take off from there. It said in verse 17, Romans 14, 17. Are you in 14, 17 already? It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Are you seeing that? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can I repeat that verse very quickly? It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in those things, or in these things, serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. What a definition, quickly, that the Bible has provided for us before we begin to explore. Now, do you know that, unfortunately, and I want you to listen to me carefully, unfortunately in our generation, great preachers are misinterpreting and misrepresenting the kingdom of God. It looks as if all about the kingdom of God nowadays is meat. What to eat. What to consume. If anybody is going to do a meeting and is going to gather crowd, he will say, 7 steps to becoming a millionaire. 3 keys unto breakthrough, unto success. And it appears as if all about the kingdom of God nowadays is about what to get, what to eat, what to drink, what to decorate yourself with. And it looks as if the kingdom of God had been reduced unto utilitarian matters. What is it that I can catch? What is it that I can consume? What is it that I can get? Now, I have been wondering, what is the matter that is making the issue of the kingdom of God misrepresented in our own time such that there are so many, 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 even tongue-talking believers on the campuses, in the cities, and the kingdom of God is not known. Are you hearing me? Where we have so many, many, many Christians, we still have so much of occultic practice. Eh? Could you imagine? Listen. Now, when this light had been put here, could you imagine that light is in this room and darkness is also here? Is it possible? Eh? It's not. When light shines, what happens? Darkness goes. Where the kingdom of God has come, the kingdom of Satan cannot stay there. They don't co-inhabit, because darkness and light, they are not friends, and they don't share anything in common. But you see, the problem is a general misunderstanding about what is the kingdom of God. For example, when you look at Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 12 and verse 13, is like giving thanks unto the Father, who has done what? Who has qualified us to become what? Partakers of what? Let's read it. Colossians 1. One of the things you will be doing for me in the course of this meeting is that we are going to be reading the Bible as much. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? In light. Who has delivered us from where? From the power of darkness, and has done what? Translated us into. Did you see that? Into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, when you read that kind of passage, I want you to wait a bit there, because we are laying a foundation quickly. When you read that kind of passage, you will discover there are two things that God is pointing out here. Can we quickly check it? He said, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, where? In light. It means then that when someone is in the light, there are some certain inheritance that the kingdom of God provides for him that he enjoys. And there's a boundary to it. He said, having delivered us, who has delivered us. If you carry some recent versions, you know that some versions say, he has rescued us. Is there any version that uses the word rescue? New Living used the word rescue. What does it mean to rescue? Eh? I know the word save is good, but to snatch by force. You are not getting me? Eh? When you say you rescue, what does that mean? Something is trying to catch this one and to throw it away, so you run after it, and what did you do? By force, you snatch it and say, no! And it looks to me as if, actually, the kingdom of God, you don't enter into it as if you just walk in there. There is something that will not let you enter except you have been what? Snatched by force. So you hear Jesus. He says some strange things about the kingdom which we need to understand. He said, from the days of John the Baptist,
What did he say?
He said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent, they are doing what? They are taking it by force. He said, having delivered us, having rescued us, having snatched us from the power. Now, other version didn't use the word power. Another version used dominion. Is there a version that said he has rescued us or delivered us from the dominion or from the domain? Is there any version like that? NIV. Can you read NIV with a loud voice? Yes, the sister that has NIV. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, the son he loves. Hallelujah. It means there was a dominion where the devil is operating. Are you hearing me? And he had wanted you and myself to remain perpetual captives in that dominion. But something happens. Before you can step into the kingdom of God, there is power versus power. That's why we say the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Hallelujah. It's not the issue of we are taking tea and drinking squash. There's something involved about the kingdom. So when we begin to say, thy kingdom come, we are actually asking for battle. Eh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That dominion of darkness has been reigning here for years. And somebody is saying, now let the kingdom of God, let it come here. You know now that you are asking for what? For a serious battle. But we are not yet going to talk about that battle. We just want to understand what is the kingdom. And to be sure that we know what we are praying about. And you know what you are preparing your heart for. The Lord helping us. Now, I found that. From that scripture he said, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, I don't know how to quickly put that, but I wish some of you that have studied some elementary transformation, maybe when you are doing mathematics or arithmetic in those days, you will know that the word translation, the word translation is a form of transformation that involves change of coordinate axis. Do you not understand it? There's a problem now. There's a real problem now. They say, where is this uncle going? Now listen. There are several transformations. There's the transformation we call rotation. And rotation is a transformation of angular displacement where your coordinate has never shifted. What are you doing? You are just doing a little angular shift. You are just turning like this, but you are on the same spot. There are people that you think they are converted, but they have only got a transformation that I call what? Rotation. Just an angular displacement. They are still located in the domain of darkness, where sin is the king. But maybe by some side attraction, maybe by some activities, maybe by some interesting singing, or maybe by some eloquent preachers who told them that you don't need to relocate. You can only do a little angular turning and you will be in the kingdom of God. So you see some people, they are even in the fellowship, but sincerely speaking, they have never been uprooted from the kingdom of darkness. Are you hearing me? Their axis is still located there. If you go to the kingdom of darkness now and they are calling their register, their names is still there. But they have experienced a little rotation. And the devil is saying, what are you rotating about? He said, well, I just want to see what they are doing in that side. He said, well, you can see it from afar, but don't forget that you are located here. Here. Now, when you find such a person that has not yet been translated, the matter of thy kingdom come does not arise for him. You hear me? He has never changed kingdom. There is yet another transformation that we refer to as stretching. Stretching is a transformation where there is a little addition to some of the coordinate axes, but not necessarily changing them. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, his root is still here. But what is he doing? He's stretching. And sometimes he has stretched to catch something. But once he caught it, where does he fall back to? He falls back to his normal habitat. Now, when you find someone that has experienced the transformation of stretching, this is someone that by stretching, you may even get some goodies of the kingdom of God. You may even get some little blessing of the kingdom because they stretch to catch something. But generally speaking, and practically speaking, where is he placed? Where is he? He's still here. He's still down here. And when you see people that are going through what I call a transformational stretching, nothing sincerely has changed. The things they used to do, it's still what they do, but they have only tried to make an add-on. They just added something. Now, you will see so many of such persons in our churches, in our fellowships, in our meetings, and you may be thinking that these also are part of the kingdom of God. And if we don't take time to explain what is the kingdom, what is the nature of the kingdom, who is in the kingdom of God, we might be thinking, and of course, do you know what the devil likes? He likes presumption. How many of you know that the devil loves presumption? Eh? He loves people to presume that they are there when they are not there. The day the devil will arrive with the reality, you say, you have never been anywhere. You've been with me all along. But I didn't want you to be alarmed. That's why I kept quiet until now. There are some that all they have experienced is a little stretchy. There is yet another transformation. What is that transformation? It is oscillation. It's also a transformation. You get me? Now, the difference between oscillation and rotation is that oscillation seems to change, give you a linear displacement. It will seem as if this man has moved. But the truth is that the string that ties him will not let him go. So when he swings here and he is positive, you think, this brother is getting hot. Wait for the next 2 weeks. He swings back almost to the same displacement with which he was swinging the other side. And you say, he said, but you see, he was very hot. I can't imagine how such a serious fellow went so down to this level. No, why are you surprised? Have you ever been surprised with pendulum clock? When the pendulum clock swings like this, what will you do? It will come back. And so you find so many friends of ours that what they have experienced is oscillation. And their song is like, sometime I am up, sometime I am down, up and down, up and down, is my life, oh Lord. And then there are few friends that tell them, that's how it is. Actually, nobody can keep going on without swinging back and front. Today, they are saying no to that habit. Tomorrow, they are back into even a deeper thing. Today, they are jubilating as if they have experienced the power of God. Tomorrow, they are in the valley of depression. If they come for fellowship and the fellowship is hot, you swing them on. And if you don't know that the ring at the center of oscillation has not been cut, you will think that this man is moving on. But wait a bit, he will go back. Now, all of that transformation is not the transformation that lands a man in the kingdom. Hey, are you with me at all? And when that is the experience of a person, he cannot yet understand the glory, the power, the privileges and the authority of the kingdom of God. And you know, as I kept praying and preparing for this meeting, I really felt that God wants to do something very, very specific. God wants to move you on, move you further. Not just to rotate you, not just to oscillate you, not just to stretch you. But you see, when we talk of translation, which is the transformation that takes a man into the kingdom, you know what translation is? Translation is a complete displacement from where you have your axis. Are you hearing me? Into. If you read that scripture very well, you see the word out of. Can you confirm for me, please? Confirm whether you find out of in verse 13. Did you find something like out of? Eh? Or from? Have you seen the word from? Or out of? You see that something like that? When you use the word from, that's talking about the former place, the old axis. From into. Did you get me? Out of. Into. In between, there is a jump. Oh, you know, sisters, have you got me? In between, this is where it used to be. If you go there, there is a vacancy. Eh? You will see that where it used to be, something was uprooted. Something was what? Uprooted. You come here and say, something used to be here. I think sister, there's one girl called Cecilia. She used to be here. They say, yes. That's our space. But something happened. She was uprooted from here. Translated. Into. You won't see Cecilia here again. If you are looking for her, where do you do? Go to the other side. Are you hearing me at all? So when they are calling roll on this side, and as they are calling roll, they say, James Galadima, yes sir. Rose Okonko, yes sir. When they call, say, Billy Akani, absent sir. Hallelujah. Absent, sir. What? We call his register. Yesterday you say absent. Last week you say absent. Today again you said absent. Where you see? Translated. The where? The where? Is on the other side. Where we cannot come. Where we cannot come. So when someone is in the kingdom of God, are you hearing me? He is also absent in the kingdom of darkness. He's uprooted. You look for him, you don't find him there. But when you come here, when they are calling roll of men in the kingdom, at the call, he said, yes, sir. How did you come here? I was translated. I don't know how I made it. A power uprooted me from where I used to be and located me into. Hallelujah. Yes. Have you seen the way I'm calling the word into? Into. How does it sound? It's like that you took it here and as you brought it, boom. Inside the kingdom, a life that is hid in Christ, in God. So the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not dancing. Hallelujah. It's not dancing. Sometimes you are saying, are you in the kingdom of God? I am there. I say, how do you know? So because anytime we go for fellowship, I just like dancing. There are two places to check if you are already in the kingdom of God. We will have to go and check your register. Where? In the former place. They said, we are asking for Shola, Shola. They said, which Shola is that? To encounter that man that he met. Since that day, it was like a joke. We thought we would see him again. We lost him. We lost him. We learned that he's doing havoc to our kingdom on the other side. We saw him now. In fact, he's struggling to pick some others from here. This is where he used to be. Excuse me, friend. Can we have a clear evidence that your place on that side is completely vacant? This is a very solemn matter. Can we be sure that out of has taken place? Or you go to that side and say, we're asking for Mr. Shola. He said, which Shola? He said, ah, Shola. Oh, is that that one that is neither hot nor cold? Don't worry. Don't worry. He is temporarily away. But he will come back. He will come back. If you just wait for two more days, he will be back. When we get to this other side, let's say there's one brother, Shola. Say, which Shola is that? Shola. Oh, we see him here occasionally. But he is one of the oscillating fellows that we have here. Before you can grab him, he has returned to where he is coming from. He is not here now. It's only when we have very serious meetings, powerful preachers, that we see him. But before we can settle down, he has swung back to where he belongs. Actually, we don't reckon with such persons here. Because a double-minded person is unstable in his ways. We don't reckon with such person. We've been advising him, if he will be hot, let him be hot. And if he will be cold, let him be cold. But for him, neither cold nor hot, we will spew him out of here. We don't need such person in this kingdom. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of God demands that on this other side, there is an empty seat. How? Are you with me? Among liars, there's an empty seat. They said, he used to, but he's no more here. And why are you looking for the living among the dead? See, this is where he used to be. He's no more here. If anybody is in the kingdom of God, are you hearing me? And he does not have that testimony in the kingdom of darkness, I am not sure he is in the kingdom yet. So the Lord Jesus, wanting to explain what the kingdom of God is, when Nicodemus came to him And I'm really bothered about Nicodemus. Do you know why I'm bothered about him? I feel he was a very sincere man. Do you know why? They said he was one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And ordinarily speaking, when you say somebody is a Pharisee, you will think that every Pharisee is an hypocrite. But that's not true. There are some great Pharisees that you really appreciate. Can I mention some of them to you? Do you know that Daniel was a Pharisee? Do you know? You don't know. He was a Pharisee. These are men that fast every week, twice, Wednesdays and Friday. If Daniel was here now, tomorrow he will be fasting. Now, do you know that as a Pharisee, they don't eat food that has been offered to idols? That was why, while he was in the University of Babylon, Daniel and three brothers insisted that they would not eat meat from the tables, from the king's table. And for 3 years, they were only eating vegetables and beans. Their fellowship in the campus, they were only four members. When others were cracking bones of turkey and of rabbits and of a snail and all those things that have been offered to the idols of Babylon, this brother was in their small fellowship, and all their colleagues were laughing at them. And they prayed at least 3 hours a day. So when they said nobody must pray for 30 days in Babylon, Daniel said, it's not possible. How can I survive not talking to my God for 30 days? Impossible. He opened his window. Some of you thought that maybe he opened his window for people to see him. No. As a Pharisee, whenever you wanted to pray in those days, what did you do? You opened the window towards Jerusalem. You faced Jerusalem. Because you are not in the temple, so you faced the temple to remind God. For that, Daniel was going to be cast into the den of lions. He was a Pharisee. So, to be a Pharisee does not mean to be an hypocrite. Is that alright? And we saw that Nicodemus, I don't think he was an hypocrite. Was he an hypocrite? He came to Jesus. He said, Rabbi. You know, he himself was a rabbi. And how he came, and he did not say, Jesus, how are you? No. He was such a humble man. Was he a humble man? He was such a very, very humble man who could acknowledge when he met a great teacher like Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no man can do this kind of thing that you are doing except God be with him. Is he saying something wrong? This was a man that recognized when God was using someone. He recognized that Jesus was not using Beelzebub like others have said. Said, I know, we know that you're a man of God. And that no man can do the kind of thing you are doing except God be with him. Hallelujah. Now, if I were Jesus, and somebody come to me like that and say, Bragbile, I thank God for the work you are doing. I thank God. We know that you're a man of God. There's no doubt in my mind. Don't mind all these people that are just making mouths. We know that the kind of miracles that you do, no one can do it except God be with him. What do you think I should have said? What do you think I should have said? So thank you very much, brother. We praise God. We thank God that some of you understand what God is doing. Let's just join hands with me. Let's just worship God together. Father, I thank you for my brother Nicodemus. How would I have called him brother? Would I not have called him brother? Because he came. He even took time, he took pains to come and look for me. Where all others were trying to stone me, he was being afraid. Then I was surprised. When Jesus was raising a critical issue of the kingdom. And excuse me, this critical issue is a matter that we dare not overlook. Hallelujah. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, sir. When he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, what does that mean? With emphasis. It's like this matter that I'm raising with you. In fact, if I have another way of saying it and you will understand it very strongly, I will have said it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless. Did you see that word unless? What does that mean? Eh? No option. No option. Thank you. This is a compulsory prerequisite. You know, some of you, when you are in the university, there are some certain courses that if you didn't pass it, you are not going anywhere. Am I right? Some of them doesn't even have any high unit. And yet you could make 78, 85 in electives. And when they mention that course, and you have not made it, did they allow you? You kept carrying it. Thank God that you are out of it now. Now, the Lord was telling him, unless, this is a compulsory course, without it you are going nowhere. Unless a man be born again, he cannot. You know, those things are too strong. Are they not too strong? He cannot. What's the meaning of he cannot? It's not possible, no matter how he tries. Fasting or no fasting, that's not the issue. Praying 3 times a day will not do it. Giving alms every time will not solve that problem. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Talk less of entrance. The man said, how can a man be born again after he is old? Is he going to enter his mother's womb? Do you remember? He said, let not, he said, be not surprised. Do you know what he said in verse 6? He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Wow. Listen, sir. And the flesh, no matter how brilliant it is, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do you know why I'm stating this matter? Do you know why I'm stating it? It is because God is about to do a new thing. And if we don't understand what is the prerequisite of the kingdom that we are saying, let it come. If we are vague about it, if we only speak in bogus language and vocabularies that has no relevance, the devil will just laugh. He will say, let them continue. I know they are not serious. But we know we are serious. Are we serious? We are.
So listen, who can enter the kingdom of God?
Let me inform you. Anything that is born of the natural does not have a space.
Where?
In the kingdom of God. Maybe you have not understood. Have you understood me at all?
Now, Nicodemus said, how can that be?
Jesus said, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? Do you know what Jesus confronted Nicodemus with?
He said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And they that are in the flesh, they cannot do what? I'm not running your place. They cannot please God. That which originates, because the meaning is this, that which is born of the flesh, that which originates from the flesh and by the flesh, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. How? Hallelujah. You know, I'm coming gradually and I'm about to close. If I'm able to establish this nature, what it means, and then we'll conduct the very quick test. Am I right? And this test, you will be answering it by yourself as you will be. So, what did I experience? Is it rotation? Is it oscillation? Is it stretchy? Or is it translation? When we go to my former place, is it vacant? When my former customers are here, say, excuse, can we have Ronke that used to be here? He used to be angry for me. I need anger. He said, even though Darwin can say she's born again, but when you need anger, she still sells to us. So she's still around. So when Jesus confronted Nicodemus, he was telling him, he said, look, sir, you are fasting, and I appreciate that. But if it's born of the flesh, it's flesh. There's nothing you can do about it. You must be born again. The man said, are you, what do you mean? You mean I should be born again? I should start afresh? Actually, the reason is because we can't mix it. The one that is born of the flesh is flesh. The one that is born of the spirit is spirit. They don't mix. They are not of the same species. There's a genetic difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, it became a serious matter. Please follow me to Romans 8. Did you see Romans 8 quickly? Now I'll quickly read from verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, maybe up to 9. For they that are after the flesh. But I really wish somebody is in this meeting with Good News Bible. Is there anybody with good news? Where are you? Thank you. Stand up and read good news for me. Romans 8. Let's compare and contrast. Romans 8, verse 5, verse 6, Go on. Listen. Those who live, how? As their human nature tells them to. Now, when you read that from King James Bible, it says, those who are after the flesh. Is that all right now? So when you say, after the flesh, good news simply says, those who live, as what? As their human nature tells them to. I think NIV says, those who live according to their sinful nature. Yes, sister, go ahead. Yes. Good. In death. Go to verse 7. So, people become the enemy of God. Yes? Did you hear this now? So you see, the question of who is in the kingdom of God is being explained very deliberately here. That those who live as their human nature tells them to. That is, those who live according to the dictates of the human nature. Those who live just as an ordinary human being, they are the enemy of God. Go ahead. They don't obey God's law. In fact, they cannot do it. That's it. God. Did you hear that? So whatsoever we are talking about, who is in the kingdom of God, surely it is not those who are living by their human nature. Read finally verse 9. Okay. Oh my God. Does that make it clear? Is it very clear now? Now, thank you. Hallelujah. Now, you know why we are dealing with this? I wanted us to be able to establish what is the boundary of the kingdom. I'm hoping that by God's grace, by the time we are concluding this conference, and we are marching out and saying, let your kingdom come, you know what we are asking for. Eh? You know that we are looking for men who do no longer live as their human nature tells them to live. You now know that we are talking about brothers, about sisters who have ended their activity with Mr. Flesh, and whose only reason for living now is the Spirit of God. Those who every moment, what matters now is not what human nature wants. It's what does the Holy Spirit want. That will be the parameter of being in the kingdom. Now, so when we told Nicodemus, let me not deceive you. Unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot. Nicodemus stood confused. Imagine a man that had been fasting every week for 2 days a week since he grew up. Imagine the man that he's the one that carries the Bible in the market, just giving to everybody. And Jesus says, sorry, sir. The question is not what do you do. The question is, who is he at work in you? Is he Mr. Flesh? And somebody may be in this and say, I don't know whether I am in the flesh or I am in the spirit. Even that is not difficult. Are you hearing me? Even that is not difficult. Let's go. Can you find that out? And see. Because I found that because the matter of the kingdom is so serious, all through scriptures, God continues to define what the kingdom is. Go with me to Galatians very quickly tonight. Are you in Galatians chapter 5? The way I want you to be reading, because you will become interpreters of the kingdom of God after hearing the name of Jesus. And by your hand, the kingdom of God will be established in our generation. I'm going to hear good news about you. And you know, some of you are sitting here, when the Lord will have finished with you, He will be sending you to different corners, different places. Some of you, God will take you outside the country to go and establish His kingdom. I know that. I know that. I know God is not joking with you at all. I know God is eager. But let us be very, very sure. Let us be very careful that the parameters of the kingdom for which we are asking God to establish through us and by our lives is clear to us. Hallelujah. Now, if you go to Galatians 5, are you in Galatians 5 already? Good. Now, I want you to just look at verse 21 before we go back. Just the last line of verse 21. You will see something that is very shocking. What did he say? Shall not do what? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see that Galatians 5 is about who will be in the kingdom. Am I right? So can we search it out quickly? Can we search it out quickly? Let's try. Galatians 5. Please join us now, quickly. Now, the sister that has elected to read for us from Good News, we would like to employ her right now. Now, is there anybody that does not have Good News, but you have Old Living Bible? We want Old. You carry Old Living Bible. So we will need you now. Can you stand up and be the assistant preacher for this night? Amen. Right. Now, I will be reading from the King James Bible, and then we'll be cross-checking with the Good News sister and the Living Bible brother. Praise the Lord. Now, I'd like to read quickly from verse 16. And then, when we get to verse 19, I will ask the sister and the brother to be reading concurrently for us. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill or gratify the lusts of the flesh. Are you there? For the flesh, what does it do? Lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are what? Are manifest. Which are these? And then he began. Now, the sister that said she had NIV before, if you look at NIV in verse 19, what did you say? The first line. Yes, that sister, thank you. The acts of the sinful nature, they are what? What's the meaning of obvious? It's clear, it's clear. It's very clear. that whenever you see the old nature or Mr. Flesh and is at work, we know. Do that right now. You can say, well, I'm in the spirit, so I don't know. It's obvious. It's clear. Now, good news. Can you read for us? Verse 19 now. What human nature does is what? It's quite plain. Yes. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions. But that is what King James said, adultery, what? Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now, whenever you see adultery, or you see fornication, excuse me please, what does that point to? What does it point to? It points that there is one man who is what? Who is at work here? Whether you see immorality in the market, who is doing it? I'm not lying to you. Is that nature? But when you see it in the choir, is it not? Who is at work? Now I want you to get me clear. Do you know that Mr. Flesh does not mind? If it is in the choir, we will have opportunity to be operating. Do you know it doesn't mind? You don't know? He likes that. And if it is on the pulpit, he enjoys it. He said, I don't care. If you can let me walk inside the church, I like that. Let them be saying that they belong to God, they belong to God. But it is me that is at work in her. I like that. You are not with me. Are you with me? So sometimes you will say, hey, we thank God. This is this great man of God. Man of God is going to heaven. And Mr. Flesh is saying, keep singing for him. Keep singing for him. I know he is not in the kingdom of God. He is located with me here. Come and see his coordinator axis. They are all here. He has never left one day. In fact, he answered register last week. When we needed a fornicator, he responded. But we have also permitted him to be preaching. If in preaching, he will continue to serve our interest. Why not? Oh, you hear me at all? So you know one of the things why I'm dealing with let the kingdom of God come is that the devil does not fear a congregation where actually they have the language of the kingdom, but they have the life of the flesh. Oh, you are not the enemy. He does not mind having people sing like angels, but live his own life. He said, I prefer that. In fact, that will make it good. So that they will already think that they are in the kingdom of God when they are nowhere. Hey, are you with me at all? He said, what human nature does? Is godly. So when you see human nature at work, it manifests itself in immorality, indecent action, uncleanness, all those things that you say you need to do in darkness that nobody sees. Heaven is not in doubt that this man is not in the kingdom of God. He's on the other side. Sister, read on quickly. It shows itself in immoral, indifferent. Did you hear this? They are not hearing this. That when you see idols, who is at work? Huh? It is the flesh, it is the same man. And in witchcraft. That is him at work. That is his job. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Ah! Did you hear that? People do what? They become enemies and they fight. You see two sisters say, wait, don't talk to me. Do you like that? When they become enemy and they fight, and they go fight over a brother. Say, Brother Kunle spoke to me first. And you cook chicken, and he's turning around now. Hey, go away! Now, it doesn't matter what they are fighting about. Sometimes they could fight over fellowship. Sometimes they could fight over who gives the special number. Sometimes, this fighting could be in the market. But wherever people become enemy, and they fight. It could be physical fight, it could be inside fighting. I hope you know. You know that sometimes, whenever that brother stands and says, let us just pray and listen to me, what is he going to say? Hypocrisy. So when he said, let us stand up now and just lift up our hand, that's the time you will open your Bible and you do like this. Just to prove to him that he is nothing. And I cannot be coming to command you here and there. You know you are fighting. So when people fight and they become enemy, excuse me, where is their location? Where is their location? In the old axis. Yeah, they are saying, oh, the spirit is moving. Even the spirit is nodding if I say no. I don't know about that though. As far as I know, he's a strange man, that old man that is at work here. He's at work. He's the one preaching. And he's not in our kingdom yet. Yes? Are you hearing this? They become jealous, they become angry, they become ambitious. When you see anger, when you see ambition, when you see jealousy, where is that taking place? In the old place, that old coordinatizes. Since I finished, so that I can turn to my friend here. They break into parties and groups. They separate into parties and groups. Yes, sister? I warn you now as I have done before. Yes? Those who do these things, oh my God. Is that clear enough? Is that clear enough? I'm afraid. You know what is making me to is because you said we should deal with thy kingdom come. It's you that has brought me this problem. That you said we should deal with thy kingdom come. And I thought you want to know about the kingdom properly. Do you want to know about the kingdom properly? Do you know that there are many people that you think are in the kingdom, that heaven doesn't have their names? in the register. There are even many that are preaching and shaking their heads, and you think that they are great. And if you ever happen to get to heaven, I say, sir, they're asking for Reverend Cosmos. Cosmos? Which Cosmos? Oh, check it on the other side. You've never that Cosmos that always oscillates. Oh, check him on the other side. We don't use oscillation here. Brother, can we get you quickly? That's my thing. Just read on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In pure thoughts. Bitterness for lustful pleasure. Yes. Spiritism. Activity of demons. Hatred and fighting. Jealousy and anger. Constant effort to get the best for yourself. Are you following this now? When we go to the kitchen, when it is time to eat, you will see the most, all those that are singing like angels here. When the man they carry will wake up, you will say, sister, don't call me sister here. It's not a matter of sister here. We are talking reality. Constant effort to get the best for yourself. It doesn't matter who is offended. Once it is not you performing, nobody does well. Anytime it is not you, no one can do well. We thank God for whatever I say, well. You are quick to find fault, and the reason is because Mr. Flesh is agitating to be on top. And until he is there, how can you satisfy him? I'm afraid that we will get to the gate of heaven, and those that you are expecting will not be there. But I thought you knew that Jesus said, many that are first shall be last. Those that are not visible here, but who have been translated, who no longer live according to the dictates of the flesh, whom we don't rate because they won't make noise, they will be the first. And I'm afraid that when Jesus Christ will begin to call people, there will be some senior people that say, Lord, in your name we prophesy with Israel. I never knew you. You know, I'm afraid of that. How could somebody be prophesying and be doing miracle in the name of the Lord and he never knew them? So because you are workers of that man. Brother, let's finish with you.
Everyone else is wrong.
You hear that? You hear that? Go ahead. There are wrong doctrines. Envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties. Do you know that as that teacher is finishing, he said, and all that sort of thing. Do you know the meaning of that? It means that even this list is not comprehensive. That what we are talking about now is not even complete. That there are so many other works that Mr. Flesh does that we couldn't list here. Yes.
Let me tell you again.
As I have told you before. Anyone living that sort of life. Oh my God. Is that ambiguous? I want to hear you now. Is that ambiguous? Anyone. You know when I read the Bible, say, let me tell you as I've told you before. Anyone. I say anyone. When they use the word anyone, what does that mean to you? No exception. Anyone. Be he a prophet? Be he a professor? Be he a big businessman? Or a president of fellowship? Anyone! I said, if the matter of the kingdom of God is like this, shouldn't we sit down very well now and actually check? I don't want to get there. And they say, sir, we never knew you. With all the giri of running up and down, we need to get there. And heaven will be full of surprises. There are few surprises I've found already in the things of God. Few surprises, and I'm surprised. People that I thought that God would have spoken highly about, they are omitted. People that I thought angels have recognized, we were searching the Bible, we don't see their name again. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, it's because flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I want to stop at this point tonight. I want you to pray with me tonight. Can we stand up as we pray together? Can we stand up as we pray together? Thank you, Lord. Wherever you are, whether in the tent or even outside the tent, maybe you are even running around and doing some things among the people that are buying and selling. And maybe you are saying, well, me, I know, I'm already in the kingdom. Can you check? Let's start well. Because we are going forward to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives. I want us to pray. I'll pray with you. Then I will let you pray. Holy Spirit, come among us. Shine the light. We don't want rotation tonight. We are not satisfied with oscillation. Some of us have oscillated for too long and we don't want that anymore. Cut the rope. Holy Spirit, we don't want stretching. Some of us have been stretching and stretching and stretching ourselves. But it's not stretching. If our axis remains on that side, we can stretch into the kingdom. We must be uprooted and planted. The former place must be vacant and the new place occupied. We must be absent in one to be present in the other. Holy Spirit, because there is a genuineness, a desire in the heart of my brothers and sisters, some have traveled Oh God, for 12 hours. Some are spent. Some narrowly escaped. Accident. All because they want to be here. How could we run in vain? How could all our efforts end up in nothingness? That's why I'm asking tonight, Lord Jesus, come down and do a work. Put your finger on the matter. May there be a divine uprooting. Lord, you know I'm not asking for a mere feeling. That will not satisfy us. I'm not asking for that oscillating experience where sometimes I'm hot, at another time I'm cold. In the public, I am standing, but in the secret, I am a compromiser. Lord, you know, we won't be satisfied with that here tonight. And you know, God, that these governments are the brink of their lives. If you don't do something definite, things may be lost. Things may be late. I plead with you tonight. Come in your power. Come, 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 Lord, in your power. Come, oh God, by the reason of your anointing, and cut the rope. Break the link. Let there be an uprooting tonight. Into the kingdom of your dear son. Every activity of the flesh, it looks so close. It looks so neat. It looks so subtle. And it appears as if no man can be free. But I'm hearing you saying, God has delivered us from the dominion, from the power of darkness, from the work of the flesh, and he has translated us. Let that thing happen now. Holy Spirit, let it happen now. Lord Jesus, as your children begin to respond, as they pray, as you tap them and say, look, don't say that I'm not sure. You can be sure now. You can put your hand in my hand. I will take you out of that. I will put you into the kingdom life. Lord, please, cause us to hear your voice now. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In the name of Jesus. Now is your turn. You know, this kind of prayer is not group praying. It's you. It's you saying, oh God, if the kingdom is not meat and drink, if it is righteousness, if it is peace, if it is joy in the Holy Ghost, righteousness, right standing and unbroken communion with God, if it is peace, and you know the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. You know there are many times that you lose your peace because you are not walking right. Many times that you cannot have the joy in the Holy Ghost. You can sing, you can smile, you can jump, but there is no depth of joy in the Holy Ghost because the kingdom life has not yet started. I want you to pray tonight. So why is the Lord standing in our midst tonight? Why is the Holy Spirit speaking expressly to you? is because God has considered you, and he said, but I have a space for him in the kingdom. He needs to be operated. He needs to be translated. He needs to be delivered. He needs to be delivered. Mama Rabba Shandaba. Rebbe Sanda. Holy Spirit. Do a deep work here tonight. A work that will baffle the devil. That will set your people on course. That will release us to become battle axes for the kingdom of God. Mama Rabba Shanda Rabba Baba. Nurobo Sanda Tadakuria. Oh, Holy Ghost. Come in your fullness. Come in your sickness. Stand your enemy. Deep in my heart. Oh God. Oh God. It's all right. It's all right tonight. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. But you know God is saying, I have not come to condemn you, I have come to uproot that thing.